Just One More, It Couldn't Hurt, by Summer of Spock, read by CookieMom6067. The first time it happened, Spock was unconscious. That's not to say he hadn't wanted it, but he would never have acted on his own. It was this factor that allowed him to excuse the warming of his cheeks and the ceaseless fluttering of his heart. His captain was kissing him, and Spock did not know exactly how to tell him to stop. To be precise, Kirk had not kissed him on the mouth. Spock thought the whole idea rather vulgar, to be completely honest, but he was grasping his hand, chafing Spock's slim fingers between his much heavier ones. In fact, it was the stimulation that had roused him. "Come on, Spock, wake up," his captain urged. Spock opened his eyes and blinked at Jim. He deduced that something heavy, most likely a rock, had dislodged itself from the ceiling and had impacted the left side of his cranium. Using a small amount of psychic force, Spock compartmentalized the pain and sat up, noting the damp, cold feeling of his surroundings. Kirk continued to squeeze his hand, and Spock was also forced to block out the arousal it had caused for fear of it becoming noticeable. "Captain, have you attempted to contact the Enterprise?" Spock said with his usual degree of calm. Kirk looked visibly relieved and squeezed his hand momentarily before releasing. Spock was dismayed to find he missed the contact almost immediately. Feeling ashamed, he looked anywhere but Kirk's face. "Yeah, they're on their way. Do you remember what happened?" Spock resisted the urge to roll his eyes as he recited the events he recalled upon regaining consciousness. "The cave collapsed, and I was rendered unconscious by falling debris. Are you injured, Captain?" Kirk smiled wryly and replied, "Just a few bumps and scrapes." Spock maneuvered himself to lean against a particularly large boulder, and Kirk sank down next to him. "Metallic interference won't allow us to transport out, so they sent a crew down to manually dig us out." Spock raised an eyebrow. "Theoretically, there should be another exit. We simply need to explore." Kirk shrugged. "You were injured, so I made the order. Besides, every ensign needs to learn the value of hard physical labor." Spock couldn't argue against that, so he relaxed in his makeshift seat to wait. And if his fingers brushed against Kirk's as he let his hands fall to the floor, then Spock was convinced it was merely coincidence. The second time it happened, Spock was incapable of removing himself from blame. He watched the captain saunter over to the science station and lean against the rail with a smile. "Well, Mr. Spock, anything unusual?" "Negative, Captain," Spock said as he straightened at his station and joined Kirk at the rail. He noticed the way Kirk's strong, thick fingers gripped the black rail, the way light gold hair dusted his knuckles and accentuated his tan skin. Spock admired the stretch of tendons as Kirk periodically tensed his fingers. Unable to resist the memory of those rough, calloused fingers against his, Spock dropped his hands to the rail smoothly, ensuring that their fingers would collide slightly. An overlap of pinky fingers was not too obscene an indiscretion. Kirk hardly noticed the touch, continuing to look at Spock with a bemused sort of affection. Spock's heart rate increased measurably, and he withdrew his hands, his finger grazing Kirk's smallest knuckle delicately. The delicious friction of skin against the sensitive pads of his fingers shot pure arousal from the pleasure centers of his brain down his spine, causing a curious weakening of his knees. Spock promptly sat in his chair and returned his focus to the view screen, hyper-aware that his captain was now withdrawing to his own chair. Exhaling a small breath of relief, he put his indiscretion from his mind. Spock could not fault himself for the third time. Though his logic was inherently flawed, he felt that Captain Kirk's brush with death allowed Spock to stand in the role of comforter and friend. Humans touch each other's hands as a source of comfort and reassurance. Spock would be there for his captain in his time of convalescence. His captain was incapacitated for a full 6 hours after the incident on Persephone, and Spock remained by his side for the duration of his stay in sickbay. McCoy raised an eyebrow at him but didn't comment when he refused to leave after the doctor finished his work. Spock sat stoically at his captain's bedside for the greater part of 5 hours. It was only when Kirk shifted minutely, a phantom muscle spasm, that Spock's gaze was drawn back to the hands he so admired. That day they were dirty, from tearing apart various mechanical devices on the surface, and remnants of his own blood stained the edges of his fingernails. Spock reached out tentatively to brush an errant gold hair into more familiar quiescence. The texture of the hair beneath his fingertips caused Spock to shiver slightly. He frowned at the reaction, but persevered. Questing his slim, pale fingers along the ridges of Kirk's knuckles, he found he had to breathe deeply to fight the waves of heat flooding his body. He found the juxtaposition of his pale green-tinged flesh against his captain's warm, honey-colored skin mesmerizing, and as he continued to caress the other man's hand, Spock could not look away. Curiosity drove him to new lengths, and he lifted his friend's hand from the bed, and lacing their fingers together, pressed their palms flush against one another. Spock was unable to stifle a gasp at the fullness of the contact on his sensitive skin. He rubbed the heel of his hand delicately against Kirk's, relishing the abrasion of Kirk's work-worn hands against his own considerably less calloused skin. Holding Kirk's hand aloft with his own, Spock traced the lines of his palm with his fingertips. He pressed the arch of his thumb against the corresponding side of Kirk's index finger before sliding the tips of his first two fingers along the vulnerable mounds at the apex of his palm. Kirk made a small noise, rousing Spock from his less than appropriate actions. Spock withdrew his hand slowly, allowing Kirk's to come to a rest once more on the biobed. Spock left the room quickly, deciding that to remain would only risk further illogical actions. It became something of an obsession. Spock found that he felt a constant urge to touch the captain, touch him anywhere, not just his hands. He tried to channel these urges into friendly and reassuring pats on the back or forearm. Kirk always looked at him, mouth slightly open, clearly surprised, when he risked such expression of his desires. Spock would then withdraw from the contact and conform his features to their usual Vulcan calm. Apparently, Spock's sudden increase in physical intimacy was noted by Kirk because he too increased the frequency with which he touched his first officer. Pats on the back, the knee, the arm, and occasionally the hand. Spock lived for those touches. The drag of Kirk's fingers over the back of his hand forced Spock to fight against a compulsion to grab the hand touching his so intimately, to pull its owner against his body, and to kiss the human in more ways than one. When they played chess, Spock watched Kirk's nimble fingers as they fondled the chess pieces in ways that could be declared obscene in certain parts of the galaxy. Spock wanted to see those fingers on his own, wanted to see them as they wrapped themselves around Spock's penis, wanted to see them covered in his seed. It was chess that allowed Spock the most frequent opportunity to touch his captain. He made a point to brush their knuckles together when Kirk brought him tea, to touch fingers when they reached for the same chess piece to reset the board. Away missions held their own distractions, mostly in the form of the erotic sight of Jim holding a suggestively shaped phaser. Spock found his Vulcan ability to cogitate on multiple topics most helpful in those times. 2 years into their mission, Spock had grown accustomed to the level of familiarity between the captain and himself. As his comfort with his captain had grown, he began to push the limits of their friendship. He would often wrap his fingers around the captain's wrist and guide him to whatever location required their presence. When Kirk would grow tired during their debriefing, he would casually brush his fingers across Kirk's knuckles, signaling for the other man to retire. During their latest mission, Kirk had grasped Spock's hand while under the influence of some alien drug, and their fingers had laced together. Kirk held him in place like that for several minutes, seemingly unwilling to relinquish the contact he did not know was so intimate. In the following days, Spock's thoughts often lingered on that memory. Spock was carefully filing the report on his current radiation experiment when Kirk burst into his quarters, his usually relaxed and cheerful face a startling shade of red. "Spock!" Kirk yelled when he sighted him at his desk. Spock stood immediately in the presence of his commanding officer and kept his voice cool. Yes, Captain. It was then that Spock noticed the pad in Kirk's hand. Feeling an irrational spike of fear, Spock swallowed tightly. May I inquire after your current state of agitation? Kirk thrust the pad into his hands, and Spock's eyes fell on a highlighted passage which he scanned while Kirk began to rant. While the mating habits of Vulcans are kept highly secret, one fact is known about Vulcan sexual practice. The hand of the Vulcan is key to their telepathic abilities, but also serves as an erogenous zone. Similar to the clitoris found in human females, Vulcan fingertips are the main source of sexual stimulation among the race. Spock was certain his ears had turned a bright shade of green as he faced his captain, his friend, who was still sputtering something about the contents of the article. Spock dropped the pad onto his desk and forced himself to listen to the words spilling from Kirk's mouth. How long has it been? Kirk was saying. I mean, if I'd fucking known that this was a thing, I would have been more careful. He ran a hand through his blonde hair, clearly distressed. I've practically been molesting you since... His words broke off and his eyes refocused on Spock's. Since that time in the cave... Astounded that the captain recalled that event, Spock remained silent. But it was you who was always touching me, Kirk said, his voice taking on a tone Spock couldn't quite place as his heart began to ram against his side and his stomach clenched. Why, Mr. Spock, if I'd known, I would have at least bought you dinner first, Kirk declared with a sudden smirk. He took two steps towards Spock and then grasped the Vulcan's forearm, pulling his hand between them. Then suddenly, everything Spock had fantasized was coming true. Kirk looked at the seemingly innocuous body part, his smirk growing wider by the second, and he ran his pointer finger along the side of Spock's pinky. Spock was unable to stop himself from moaning. The smirk broke into an all-out grin. Kirk inserted all four of his fingers into the separations of Spock's digits, and simultaneously ran them up and down the sensitive inner skin. Spock shivered at the contact and was forced to grip the edge of his desk with his free hand. Oh, no, you don't, Kirk warned, as he herded Spock back into his chair and grabbed his other hand so that both were erect in front of Spock's face. Spock sat, overwhelmed by the fullness of the contact between them. Kirk trailed one finger in a tantalizing circle around the pads of his left palm, while petting his other palm gently. Spock shuddered and pressed back into his chair, his toes curling in his regulation boots. Just a little skin contact will do that? Kirk asked, his voice part wonderment, part tease. He molded Spock's hand, so just the middle and pointer fingers were outstretched. Spock understood more fully when Kirk's mouth descended on the two fingers, and the sweltering, delicious heat of his mouth caused Spock to buck his hips forward, certain that Kirk had noticed his state of arousal. Jim! Spock cried before he could stop himself. Jim hummed around his fingers before mounting him in the chair. It was at that moment that Spock noticed a matching hardness in Jim's own trousers as their hips ground together in a friction Spock hadn't even known he desired. Can you come like this? Jim asked against his hand, his lips caressing the thin web of skin between his thumb and forefinger. When Spock, too caught up in sensation, didn't answer, Jim continued, his voice low, Come for me, Spock. Spock made an undignified sound as Jim ground their erections together, licking a wet stripe up the center of his palm. Their right hands were interlaced, and Jim had the presence of mind to intermittently squeeze and caress his knuckles, as if he couldn't bear the thought of leaving his hand out of the fun. Kirk nibbled at the heel of his hand, and Spock moaned his name once more. Yes, just like that, Jim said, his eyes fixed on Spock's face. You look so beautiful like this, you know. Spock made some sound of acknowledgement, but found he had difficulty managing whole words when Jim took his two fingers in his mouth once more, this time sucking ruthlessly. Spock felt the whole world disintegrate around him as he came. The only thing he could register was the unbelievable heat of Jim's mouth around his fingers, licking and sucking him through his orgasm. Clearly satisfied, Jim pressed a kiss to the center of his palm and laced their left hands together. He smiled at Spock and said, "If I'd known you were so sensitive, I would have done that ages ago." "It is called a Vulcan kiss, Jim," Spock said, trying to find the words to explain everything. Jim smiled like that was the greatest thing he had ever heard. "Really?" Spock looked at him quizzically and asked, "I would also like to kiss you the human way." The words were barely out of his mouth before Jim pressed fully against him to bring their lips together. Now it was Jim who was moaning against him as Spock attempted to emulate the best kisses he had received to date. Their tongues slid together, and Spock found it difficult to remain level-headed at the complexity of the feelings rushing through him. Jim pulled away far too soon by Spock's estimation, and he growled, trying to draw Jim against him once more. Jim just smiled, a slight challenge in his eyes. "Want to put those sensitive fingers to good use?" Thankfully, Spock knew enough about human mating habits to know exactly what he meant. The end.